All right, we're back here doing Up Thursday, October 9th. A nice day, a few clouds out there moving around. We're at 53 degrees. Get this talk around going with everyone's favorite historian, Jana Gagelin, in doing her Thursday thing. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
Just trying to work equipment there. Yeah. I apologize for that microphone.
Yeah, I got it. I'm not very tall. So
well, we've got we got a mic stand in here that's kind of got a mind of its own and sort of does what it wants.
Possessed.
It is. I apologize for that. Hey,
oh, we're good.
We're getting out of the kitchen.
Yes.
And
yes.
We're moving back to what, Jana Gagelin?
Well, this is going to be kind of a few weeks of potpourri sort of stuff.
Sure.
You know, sometimes people come in and I'll be at the library and they'll say, well, what do you know about, you know? And so they just plant the seed and down the rabbit hole I go.
There you go.
Yeah. So this is kind of one of those what do you know type things.
You love doing this kind of research, don't you?
I do.
You really do. It is your passion.
There's so much to learn.
Right.
And I never had time before to do that, so I couldn't learn all of this.
That's a great way to look at it.
Yeah. So anyway, we're going back to 1933.
Okay.
But we have to go farther back to start with. So when Wahpeton became a city in town in 1869, we had Dakota Avenue. And everything from that point going forward was always built on the north side of Dakota Avenue.
Okay.
You know, the schools.
Yeah.
The churches. There was a little bit on the south side of Dakota Avenue, but not really very much. They just sort of went on the north side. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Maybe there was more land that was available.
That could be.
And, of course, Morgan T. Rich had, you know, purchased a lot of land over there, and he was willing to sell to the city, that kind of thing, for expansion. And then in 1879, the railroad came. And so the railroad bridge then went from Breckenridge to Wahpeton, and that brought in more people. And, of course, then more people started building on the south side. More businesses started on the south side. You know, then you have the Opera House over there.
Sure.
You know, so, I mean, there's just a lot that was, you know, going on all over the place. But the streets were by numbers. So you started at the river and then you went to the west. So it'll be first, second, third. And the streets ran north and south. However, it wasn't that way for the avenues. So I'm going to give you a map from the 1917 map.
Okay. This is a map of Wahpeton.
Yep.
And I'm counting, let's see here. Are there eight total here that are blocked out?
Yeah, it's okay. Just sections.
It's just right. Sections. Okay.
Yeah.
And there are eight of them.
Right.
Okay.
But, so when people started to build homes on the north side or even on the south side, they named the avenues. They weren't numbers. So if you see that there's Dakota Avenue, and then right north of Dakota Avenue is Wisconsin.
Yes. Wisconsin, there's a Utah Avenue.
Well, look at this. Pembina.
Pembina.
Michigan, Delaware.
Maine, Nichols. Yeah.
So I think they initially named them after places where people had come. You know, they
makes
come
sense.
From.
Right.
Sure. So the states then sort of took over, and that's how the avenues were named. But can you imagine, I was looking at an obituary from Anna Medvedev. I can't remember her year of death, but it said that she lived at Pembina. Well, I had no idea.
And you just thought she lived in Pembina.
Yeah, which
right.
would be like Canada.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I had no idea that that was the name of an avenue. So I asked Mercedes Morris about this, and she goes, oh, yeah, the house that she was living in at that time was over 100 years old. And so they would put a shingle, so to speak, would be their house number and then their avenue. So she would have, 40503 Pembina.
Pembina.
So people would know because it was like one house on the block and
wow.
there wasn't anything else around there. Can you imagine going to a rummage sale? I mean,
and I'm sure a lot of people did back then.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, trying to find a location of where someone may have lived, which would have been Pembina and Second Street. you know.
Good luck.
Yeah. So that was really an issue. And you can see on the map that in 1917, the farthest north that we had for avenues was by the college.
College Avenue.
Yep.
North Dakota State School of Science.
Right. Mm-hmm. And, of course, that came up in the early 1900s. So you go south, and the last one, I think, is Berlin.
Correct.
Yes.
Yes.
And that wasn't even as far as 11th Avenue right by the airport. That would have been a couple blocks north of that. And you had, you know, some really odd ones, Nichols and Berlin. And then later on there was a Jefferson, Iota, Maine, Bridge, you know, Territorial. Which kind of goes with the territorial.
This fascinating. And again, what year was this, Jan?
That was 1917.
1917. Wasn't much to Wahpeton back then when you when you look at it compared to today.
And our population might have been around 2,000, you know, so it wasn't a huge amount. A huge amount. But so in 1933, H.H. Pfister was our mayor, and he said, people come to our fair city, and they can't find their way around. And even people who live here can't find their way around.
So he was aware it was a problem.
Yes, he was.
Okay.
And so he took action. So in 1933, all of the avenues changed to a number. So Wisconsin then became Second Avenue. And Pembina, Third Avenue.
Third Avenue, right.
And then they used the streets to give them the numbers. So if you were between, let's say, 2nd and 3rd Street, then your numbers for that avenue followed the street between. So if you were between 2nd and 3rd, then your house numbers would have reflected 2 to 3s, you know, like 201, 203, and all the way till you get to
that's where that came from. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So that was a very, very good thing to do.
Fascinating stuff.
And our signs were white background and black lettering, raised lettering, they call it.
North Merchant Street.
Yeah, I just grabbed that,
one. That was that. Okay, that's where that came from.
But that's you know, what the signs looked like. And they weren't very big. They were kind of small. And they only had enough money to do one corner, so they had to wait till later on to finish the project. And I think it probably took till maybe the 60s before they got to the green background with the white lettering.
Yeah, this is the white, just a narrow strip, a white sign, and with the like you mentioned, the black lettering.
Yeah, and they were at the corners back to back like they are now.
Sure.
And of course now we have much larger signs which is a godsend. It's great. I mean, you can see it a little farther away.
That is
away.
True. Yes, yes. Fascinating stuff. I always say this one segment where I don't talk much because I just love to listen to you. What else you got?
Well, for now, that's what I've got. I'm working on one for next week that has to do with getting something out of the 1925. You know, that was, we always tried to go around with that history of 1925, but haven't been real successful. Someone did ask me a question, though, about something related to the college.
Yeah.
And they said, how did the yearbook get its name? You know, I think the first yearbook out there was 1914, and we don't have a yearbook at the college anymore. And so they, according to what I read in one of the yearbooks, there was a group of students, and they were responsible for naming the yearbook. What should we call this yearbook, 1914? So it was Max Lauder and one of the Forbes, and they got together, they brainstormed, they asked the Native American people, what is the word for science? Because they would, you know, incorporate that. Well, they didn't have one. Science wasn't science to them. It was nature. It was, you know, everything.
That was it, yeah.
Yeah, it was not like, okay, we're going to study science, you know. So they made it up. According to Harry Lord, who was also with them on that little journey, that they decided that the yearbook would be called Agawasi, and it was supposedly a Native American word for science. I don't know if there's anyone out there who has any idea of the Native word for science, but what they made it up.
Agawasi stuck.
It did. Yeah, what a cool name.
It is very cool.
Yeah, So those little tidbits just kind of come around.
Potpourri. I love when you do potpourri, Janet. It was fun being in the kitchen drawer, but I love this too.
It's always fun.
Yeah, we're talking naming streets in Wapton history. You going to give us a preview of next week?
Just from 1925. Remember we talked about the I think there were candy bars that kind of came around, mm-hmm. and like Mr. Good Bar. So it'll be a bounce off of that.
All right. Looking forward to it. Janet, great having you in here.
Good to be here.
Each and every Thursday, Janet Gageland talking Wapton history here at the Voice of the Valley, AM 1450 KBMW. Good morning.
In the heart of every successful farm, trust is the seed that grows the strongest bonds.
At Proceed, we're not just a company. We're a community built on trust and family values.
Our dedicated employees are passionate about supporting local farmers like you.
We know your challenges because we've walked the same paths, sowed the same seeds.
We believe in building relationships that go beyond business. Relationships grounded in trust and mutual respect.
Because at Proceed, you're not just a customer. You're part of our family.
If you're kicking yourself for missing your chance at a bonus meal card from Wapton Deli and Eatery, well, they've got hearts of gold over there at the deli. That's why they're extending this special through Friday. Buy two meal cards for $55 a piece and get a third one for free. That's $110.